God bless you, everyone, and welcome to the program, Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and I am the host of the program. I send you my best regards from Los Angeles, California. This is episode number 4, entitled The Life of Jesus. In this episode, we're going to begin to see how Jesus lived his life. What we're going to cover from when he was born until before he started making his trip up to Jerusalem. I want to say that this program is going to be based on the timeline of the book of Luke mostly, but I will be using the book Harmony of the Gospels, General Editor J. Dwight Pentecost, to put in order what happened in the life of Jesus, using the four Gospels, of course. And this way we can cover as much as possible in the time we have. Now, because the life of Jesus is so long, I have to cut a lot out. But I have tried to leave the important moments in his life. Even so, I have divided his life into two separate parts, which will be this episode and the next. I am not going to read the parables of the Bible or the New Testament, but if you want to read it, I invite you to do so. Now, like I said, we're going to cover from the birth until he starts his journey toward Jerusalem. In the second part, we cover when he starts his journey to Jerusalem to the time he is delivered and arrested. And then the episode after that will be the time from he got arrested to his death. Either way, I am very happy to be here for another week, thanks to God. To our God and King Jesus Christ be all the glory, all the honor, forever and ever. So let us pray that it be him who guide us and teaching us everything we have to learn on this day. Let's pray. Blessed God of glory, I give thanks for your great mercy and your great love. Thank you for letting us live another day. I ask that it be you taking control of this program. It's time again to speak your word. Please teach us what you want to teach us and reveal to us your word. I leave everything in your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's quickly review what we went through in the last episode. We see example of the rebellion of Israel before reaching the promised land. We see that God wanted to be with his people, but the heart of the people of Israel was far from God. And because of this, God gave a promise of a new covenant. The new redemption was going to be through a Messiah. It was going to be through a descendant of David who was going to sit in the throne forever. And even in the book of Daniel, it tells us the time of his coming, which was going to be before the destruction of the second temple. And we ended the episode by revealing who the Messiah was. And the Messiah is Jesus Christ. So let's just dive in. I'm going to try to cut it as short as possible, but it's so much information that it might not be possible at all. But even so, I invite you to follow me when I give out the different verses if that's what you want to do. Now, let's start at the beginning. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, it tells us that in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, with his wife named Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, and they walked in all the ways of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was sterile. She couldn't have any kids, and she was already old. The time came when Zechariah, being a priest, had the chance to go and offer incense to God in the tabernacle. While he was inside, an angel appeared to him, and he was very afraid. The angel told him, "Do not be afraid, for all your prayers have been heard, and your wife will have a son, and his name will be called John, and you will have joy and happiness, and many will rejoice at this birth. He will be great before the Lord. He will not drink wine or sun drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will make many of the children of Israel turn to the Lord God." Zechariah answered, "How will I know this? For I am old and my wife is elderly." The angel replied, "I am the angel Gabriel. I am before God. I have been sent to speak to you and give you good news. And for not believing in me, you will not be able to speak until this is fulfilled." It happened that the people found it very strange that he was taking so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out and seeing that he couldn't speak, they understood that he had seen a vision in there. After the days of his priestly ministry that he had to do, he went home and his wife Elizabeth conceived. In Luke 1, right there in the same chapter, it says that the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin and somebody who was already, compromised to marry someone. The name of that man that she was supposed to marry was named Joseph from the house of David, and the name of that virgin was Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, but she was afraid, but the angel told her not to be afraid. The angel told her that she had found grace before God, and she was going to conceive and give birth to a son, and she was going to name him Jesus. He said that he was going to be called Son of the Most High, and God was going to give him the throne of David, and he was going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom would know no end. But Mary answered, "How is this? Well, I don't know a man." The angel told her that the Spirit of God was going to come upon her, and the Most High power was going to cover her with his shadow. For that reason, the one who was going to be born was going to be called Son of God. Then the angel said, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month for her, the one they called barren, because nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary hurried up the mountain to a city in Judah, and entering the house of Zechariah, greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary, the child in her womb jumped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Mary stayed there about 3 months and returned home. After Elizabeth's time of her pregnancy, she gave birth to a son, and many of the relatives rejoiced with her. When it was time to present their son on the 8th day, as it was their custom, they asked what was she going to call him, and she said John. And when they asked Zechariah what was going to be called him, he also wrote John. It just happened that when he wrote down John, his tongue was unleashed. Well, it was loosened up, and he was able to speak, and he was filled with the word of God. Well, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that the child grew and was strengthened in spirit and was in desert places until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Perhaps you are wondering, why am I talking about John when Jesus is the Messiah? But John is an important person that we're going to see later, and he was sent by God before the Messiah. Now, after the 3 months that Mary was there, there is something that we have to notice. The angel appeared to her before she married Joseph, and the Bible said that a few days after she saw the angel, she went up to Zechariah's house where she stayed for those 3 months. That's why when she returned home, she looked at Joseph, her fiancé, and it wasn't until that moment that Joseph found out that she was pregnant. And because she was pregnant, Joseph thought that, you know, maybe she had found somebody and met someone in that way. But Joseph, being a kind and fair man, he didn't want to slander her, because if the public would have known, they would have stoned her. And he wanted to leave her in secret. It wasn't until the angel appeared to him in a dream and told him not to be afraid of receiving his wife Mary, because she had begotten of the Holy Spirit. And she was going to give birth to a son, and she would call his name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sin. All this was necessary so the prophecy will be fulfilled, which is in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and will give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," translating meaning God is with us, or God among us. In those days, there was an order given to take a census throughout the land, and everyone had to return to the land for the census. Joseph went up from Galilee, from Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and family of David. It happened that while they were there, Mary gave birth to Jesus. And because there was no room for them in the inn, they had to stay in in a little shed where they keep all the animals. Luke 2 verse 1-7. The genealogy of Jesus confirming that he was a descendant of David, from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to the birth of Jesus, 14 generations. Because of the length of the names, I did not name the entire lineage. But the genealogy from Abraham to Jesus in detail is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1-17. And in Luke 3, verse 23-38, the genealogy of Jesus is found It goes even back further. It goes from Adam to Jesus instead of Abraham to Jesus. It so happened that the day that Jesus was born, an angel appeared to some shepherds saying, "Here is what I give you, great news of joy, because today a Savior has been born to you in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord." It then says that a multitude of heavenly angels appeared in the sky, praising God. And after they left, the shepherds got up and they passed through Bethlehem and found Joseph and Mary and them in the shed where the animals were kept. When they saw them, they told them everything that had happened, and all who heard were amazed. And the shepherd returned praising and glorifying God. Fulfilling the 8 days to circumcise the child, they named him Jesus. And when the days of purification passed, this is 40 days of purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him to Jerusalem to present him. Now, there was a man named Simeon who was just and, well, he was just. It had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the anointed of God. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he was moved to go to the temple. And when Joseph and Mary brought the child to the temple, he took him from his arms and blessed God, saying, "It's time, Lord, you send your servant in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people of Israel." Luke 2, verse 21 through 38. In the book of Luke, it tells us that after fulfilling the law, that Jesus and Mary went back to Galilee, to the city of Nazareth, Luke 2:39. But if we go to the book of Matthew, it warns us of what happened before they went to their home in Nazareth. According to Matthew, it says that when Jesus was born in the days of Herod, some wise men came from the east. They told him, "Where is the king of the Jews who was born? We have seen a star in the east and we came to worship." Herod, hearing this, was troubled with all Jerusalem and called all the chief and priests and scribes when and where the Christ will be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by a prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, of the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will be shepherd to my people of Israel.'" The king secretly called the wise men and sent them to Bethlehem to find out where the child was born, because he said that he wanted to go and worship him as well. Following the star, they rejoiced when they saw that it was stopped over where the child was. And as they entered the house and seeing the child, they worshipped him. And opening the treasure, they offered him gift, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But being revealed by dream that they did not return to Herod, they returned to their land by a different way. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Joseph, waking up from the dream, took the child and his mother at night and fled to Egypt. When Herod saw himself mocked by the wise men, he became very angry and ordered to kill all the two-year-old children who were in Bethlehem and in all their surroundings according to the time that he had inquired of the wise men. Then what was said by the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled when he said, "Voice was heard in Ramah, great lamentation, weeping and moaning, Rachel who weeps for her children and did not want to be comforted because they perished." I'm going to be a bit honest with you. The timeline confused me a bit on this part, but after studying for 2 days, I finally got some clarity, thanks to God. In the book of Luke, we say that after doing everything according to God's law, they returned home. But we had to remember that Luke had written everything he had heard, but Matthew was a disciple of Jesus, and he was with him. And there's a strong possibility that he was told by Mary about the childhood of Jesus and the flight into Egypt. I really can't say for sure, though. But I'm going to try to explain in the time, you know, maybe to explain it in a better way. So around the shepherds, the Luke gives us the time around spring because the shepherds usually herded their sheep in the green pastures. But in the winter time, it will be too cold to even graze the sheep because the reason was because the shepherd had to sleep outside with your flock in case of an animal came trying to eat the sheep. Secondly, the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 120 kilometers or up to 130 kilometers away. A mile, this is about 70 to 80 miles away. For us, it may not be very far with a car and everything, but in the old days, to travel the distance, it took about 4 days traveling only in day. The region from Nazareth to Bethlehem was not an easy road, but they had to pass mountains, making the road even harder. Now, the best time to pass will be the spring, when it was not too cold nor too hot, making the weather perfect for traveling, especially for Mary, who was pregnant. Third, according to the law of Moses, they had to present Jesus in the temple because he had opened the womb, making them still in Bethlehem 40 days after Jesus was born. We also know that the Bible does not say exactly how long it had been since the wise men came to Herod. It does not tell us how long they had been following the star, even how long it was before they began following the star. But if we look at Matthew 2:7, that Herod asked them diligently the time of the appearance of the star. And the same night they saw the child, the angel appeared to Joseph, telling him to flee to Egypt. Now, from Bethlehem to Egypt is about 725 kilometers or 450 miles away, which in the old days could take up to 14 days of travel. See that when the wise men go another way, Herod gets so angry that he orders all the children to be killed less than 2 years old, according to the time he inquired of the wise men. My theory is that maybe after Jesus was either 3 months or even a year later, that's when they fled to Egypt. That's when the wise men came and saw the baby. If it were 3 months later, it would still be possible to go to Egypt before the summer he came. And if it were a year later, around the same time, the child would already be strong enough to go on the long journey to Egypt. It will also be possible that the 14 days of travel, it was the days that Herod waited before giving the order. We do not know the exact time, but for me, this kind of helped me understand a little more the possibility of the timeline that these events took place. Before that, I also have to mention that Bethlehem is a small city. It's not like a big city, and people might say, so maybe he didn't mention that because according to them, to Bethlehem, it's a big massacre because it's a small city. But to other people, to have that many babies killed or that many, you know, kids killed, it wouldn't be a massacre because of the amount that were killed. If that makes any sense, I know it's a bit confusing. But either way, it was not until the death of Herod that an angel warned Joseph to return. But out of fear of the son of Herod, Joseph through dreams was revealed to go to Galilee and came and live again in the city of Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2 verse 19 to 23. The Bible does not tell us much about the childhood of Jesus. He only tells us about an event that happened when Jesus was 12 years old. Every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for Passover, and when he was 12 years old, he went up with them. After the party, Jesus stayed, after the Passover, more than a party, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. The parents thought that he was among the company, and they were on the road for a day until they began to look for him, and since they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors of the law, listening to them and asking them questions, and they were amazed of his answers and his intelligence. When they saw him, his mother said to him, "Son, why are you doing this to us? We have been looking for you with anguish. We've been desperate to find you." But he replied, "Why are you looking for me? Don't you know that it isn't necessary for me to be in my father's business?" And they returned to Nazareth, and he was, he was subject to them and believed in, and he grew in grace and wisdom and stature before God among men. Luke 2, verse 41 through 52. After this event, the Bible jumps forward 18 years later when he was around 30 years old, because at 30 is when Jesus begins his ministry, but before his relative John begins his. In the year of the empire of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Annas and Caiaphas being high priest, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. And he went throughout all the region adjacent to the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, which says, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be lowered. The crooked path will be made straight, and the rough path smoothed out, and all flesh shall see the salvation in God." And because of this, many began to ask, "Is this the Christ?" One thing is that I have to add is that at that time, they had already passed around 400 years since the last time that God had spoken. This time, from the last written book of the Old Testament until now in the New Testament, is called the moment of silence or the time of silence. It is also something that we would like to cover later in the future. But for this reason, they began to ask whether John was a Christ, because suddenly they started to listen to him. Suddenly, it's like they got a prophet again, just like in the old days. But John responded, saying to all, "To the truth, I baptize you in water, but there is one mightier than I who is coming, whose shoe strap I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You see, John started speaking out against the sins of the people, but not only against the sins of the common people, but as well as the leaders. He even started speaking against the governor who was there because he had taken the wife of his brother. And this same man is the one who imprisoned John later on, which is in Luke chapter 3, verse 1 through 20. Now, it happened when other people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, and I am very pleased with you." Now, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led into the desert, and after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry and was tempted by the devil. But for each temptation, Jesus responded with the word until he left them, and the angels came and ministered to him, Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11. And when Jesus heard that John was in prison, he returned to Galilee. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up on the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue, like he was accustomed to do, and he got up to read. And the book of Isaiah was given to him, and this is where he found where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 2. And he said to them, "Today this word has been fulfilled." When they heard this and other things, all of the synagogue was filled with anger, and rising up, they threw him out of the city to throw him off a cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and left. Luke 4, verse 16 through 30. After leaving Nazareth, Jesus came to Capernaum, a city by the sea. And this was done so what the prophet Isaiah will be fulfilled, where it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those who are sitting in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned." Isaiah 9:2. The first two miracles of Jesus has happened here. The first one, when he turned water into wine at the wedding, John 2, verse 1 through 12. And the second miracle was when he healed the son of a nobleman, John 4, 43 through 54. When Jesus descended to Capernaum, city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath, there was a man who had an unclean spirit. And when he saw him, he exclaimed, "What do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" But he replied, "Be silent and get out of him." He immediately left, and everyone amazed, saying, "What word is this that with authority and power commands the unclean spirits, and they come out?" And his fame spread. At sunset, many with various diseases were brought to him, and he healed them. Many demons came out of people because of Jesus. And when it was already day, the people looked for him, and arriving where he was, they stopped him so he would not leave. But he said that there were also other cities that he had to announce the gospels of the kingdom of God. It happened that while he was preaching, there was around him were the Pharisees and the people of the law, who had come from the villages of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And some arrived with somebody who was paralyzed. They wanted to take him to Jesus so that he could be healed, but because there were so many people, they were not able to pass. So what they did instead is that they climbed on the roof and lowered him through the roof. They basically made a hole in the roof and lowered him down to Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." Upon hearing this, the scribes and Pharisees began to ponder, think intensely within themselves, saying, "Who is this who speaks so with blasphemy? If only God forgives sins." Jesus then, knowing their thoughts, answered and said to them, "What do you ponder in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He turned to the paralyzed man and said, "I say to you, get up, take your bed, and go home." Immediately getting up before them and taking up the bed on which he was laying, he went home glorifying God. Luke 5:17-26. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man with a withered hand, like a dried up hand. And the Pharisees and scribes were watching to see if he was healed on the Sabbath day, so they could accuse him. But knowing their thoughts, Jesus told the man to get up and stand in the middle. And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to take it?" And looking around, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did, and his hand was restored. Now, the Bible said that he went up to the mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. And when it was day, he called the disciples and chose 12 of them, who also called apostles. Simon, who he also called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, that's kind of hard for me to say, Matthew, Thomas, James son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zealot, and Judas, brother James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor, Luke 6:12-16. I have not mentioned much about the apostle because we would like to study, I would like to study them more in detail later in the future. But that's, that's for another day. After the anointing of the 12 apostles, he descended onto a place with the 12 apostles in a large crowd. Then he healed and took demons out of people. It's also there that he gave a well-known sermon that is the blessing and woes, which is found in Luke 6:20-49. Finishing his word, he entered Capernaum, and a centurion sent some soldiers, or the elders of the Jews, begging him to come heal his beloved servant. Let me read it to you. And Jesus went with them. But when they were no longer far from the house, the centurion sent some friends to him, saying, "Lord, do not bother, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. So I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man placed under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to him, go, and he goes. And the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Upon hearing this, Jesus was amazed at them, and turning, he said to the people who follow them, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent home, when they got there, they found the servant had been healed from being sick. Now, while arriving near the gate of the city, they carried a dead man, the son of a widow. Looking at her, Jesus took pity on her, and he revived her son. Seeing this, many people were afraid and glorified God. John's disciple told them about all these things, and he called two of his disciples and sent them to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or is there someone else?" When they asked him, in the same hour he healed many from diseases and plagues and from evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Jesus replied, "Go, tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind see, those who can hear, the dead are risen, and this gospel is proclaimed to the poor." After this, Jesus gets on a boat and crosses the water with his disciples to the other side of the lake. And while they were going, he fell asleep, and a storm with strong winds hit the boat and moved violently. They woke him up saying, "Master, we perish." And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were frightened, marveled, once he told the wind, "Stop or go away," and they did. And they said, "Who is it that even the winds and the waters command to obey him?" Crossing the water, they came to the land of Gadarenes, where there was a demon-possessed man who could not be tied up or imprisoned, because he broke the chains they were put on him. This man had no clothes, nor did he leave a house, but he lived in the tombs, in the cemetery. Seeing Jesus, he exclaimed and put himself before him, saying, "What have you with us, Son of God?" Jesus answered, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, because we are many." They asked, "If it's okay, let us just leave this man and go into the pigs that are nearby." And he said, "That's fine." So once they left the man, they entered the pigs. And what happened when they entered the pigs is they jumped off the cliff, you know, off the mountain or the hill, and they drowned. And those who herded the pigs, when they saw that, fled and told the city, and the people went out to see what was happening. And when they saw, they came out the man that was dressed, and he was in his right mind. And, you know, he was no longer crazy, basically. And everyone got afraid of Jesus because of what he did, and they begged him to leave. So he got back on the boat and turned away. Returning, Jesus found a large crowd waiting for him, who received him with joy. There was a man named Jairo, who was a principal, you know, he was one of the mains of the synagogue. And being before his feet, he begged them to enter his house so that his only daughter, who was about 12 years old, could be healed. But while Jesus was going, the crowd oppressed him. You know, they kind of like pressed him in. They were bunching up against him. It happened that there was a woman who suffered from bleeding for 12 years and had spent everything she had, but no one could cure her. And she said, "If I approach him from behind and touch his cloak, the blood will immediately stop." And so what she did is that between the crowd, she went and touched the robe of Jesus. But Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" They all denied. And Peter said, "Master, the crowd oppresses you and you say, 'Who is that that has touched me?'" Jesus replied, "Someone has touched me because I have known that power has come out of me." The woman, seeing that she was not hidden, probably because Jesus was looking directly at her, came trembling and putting herself in front of him, said, well, he told her everything that had happened. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." He was still speaking when suddenly someone from the synagogue came to tell Jairo, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Listening, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Only believe and you will be saved." Entering the house, he did not let anyone enter with him except the parents, Peter, Jacob, and John. And while they were crying and making lamentations for her, he said, "Don't cry, because she's not dead, but she sleeps." And they made fun of him, but he took her by the hand and said, "Girl, get up." And then she got up and her spirit returned. And Jesus commanded that they did not tell anyone what had happened. Luke 8:40-56. Jesus gathered his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal. He commanded them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said, "Do not take anything for the road. And any house whose you enter, stay there, and from there leave. But where they do not receive you, leave the city and shake off the dust from your feet as testimony against them." And going out, they preached the gospel of God throughout the villages and healed everywhere. Now Herod heard about Jesus and was confused because some said, "John has risen from the dead," others, "Elijah has appeared," and others, "A prophet of the ancient has risen." Herod, as I said, was the one who beheaded John, in other words. And he's like, who is this? Who is this person that has come up? And he tried to see Jesus. You see, what had happened is that Herod imprisoned John because he told him that it was not good for him to have the wife of his brother. Herod wanted to kill him, but because he feared the people, he did not do it because they had him as a prophet. But when he was celebrating his birthday, his daughter danced, and Herod was pleased with the dance. And for that reason, he offered her what she wanted by oath, even half of the kingdom. But her daughter, instructed by her mother, asked for the head of John the Baptist on the plate. Hearing this, Herod became sad, but because he was under oath, he gave the order. Grabbing the head, the girl gave it to her mother, and John's disciples seized the body and buried it and told Jesus. Matthew 14:1-12. Now, returning the apostles, they told him everything they had done. And taking it, he went to a desert place called Bethsaida. And when the people knew, they followed him, and he received them and healed them and taught them about the kingdom of God. Later, the 12 told them to send the people away so that they could go and eat because it was already late. And Jesus told them that you don't need to go. You give them something to eat. And they said, "We don't have more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then he commanded the people to lie down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, blessed them and he broke them. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces. They ate about, you know, they fed about 5,000 men, and that's without counting any women and children. So that's a lot of people. I wouldn't say, you know, there was a woman for every man, that would be like 10,000, but that's not even counting the children. It's a lot. And to be able to still have 12 baskets of leftover broken pieces, that was the miracle that Jesus did. But those men, and seeing the sign that Jesus had just done, says, "This is truly the prophet who has to come into the world." But Jesus, understanding that they were going to come to seize him and making him, he returned to the mountain alone. John 6:14-15. After feeding the 5,000 men, Jesus made his disciples cross over to the other side, and he was left alone. When the boat was far away, a storm began to hit. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them on the water. But when they looked at him, they were afraid, and they said, "It's a ghost." And they began to cry out of fear. But he said, "Have courage, it's me, do not be afraid." And Peter said, "If it's really you, let me walk over the water towards you." And Peter descended and walked over the water, but seeing the force of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, "Lord, save me." Jesus extended his hand and held him and said, "Man, a little faith, why did you doubt?" And entering the boat, he calmed down the storm. When the storm was over, they arrived on the other side. And when they recognized Jesus, they sent word to everyone around them, and they brought him everyone who had an illness, and many were healed. Matthew 14:22-34. One day, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They say, "Some say you are John the Baptist, other Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said, "And who do you think I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by blood, but by my Father who is in heaven." And he ordered them not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From then on, Jesus began to declare to his disciples that he will go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and rise again on the third day. Peter took Jesus by the side and rebuked them. "God forbid, Lord, may it never happen to you." But turning around, he said to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, because you are not thinking about the things of God, but about those of men." Matthew 16:13-23. And this is where we're going to stop for today. There's so much that I cannot cover today because of the time. But if there's something that caught your attention, I invite you to go back and read it for yourself, because there's so much to learn from the Word of God. And what I'm trying to do is in this episode is try to explain everything in an easy way to understand. And I know it gets hard because of my accent could be very heavy at times. And I know that this translation of this episode wasn't the best. So for my next episode, I'm going to take a bit more time to editing and writing the episode. So I do apologize if you have trouble keeping up on this episode, but my next episode might be a little bit late, but I will do my best to be able to narrate it to you in an easier way for you to understand. So please, like I said, please be patient with me and I'll do my best. The purpose is to learn and have the Word of God close to our hearts. If the is the Word of God that we find through the Lord and our God Jesus. We are just beginning. I feel there's so much more to learn, so much that remains to be known. Jesus is our King and Savior, and He will never leave you. He is always with us, and He is faithful to us even if we're not faithful to Him. For the next episode, we're going to cover more of the life of Jesus. We're going to cover other miracles and His triumph entry into Jerusalem right up to His arrest. And like I've stated many times before, I just want to mention that we have the program in Spanish called Abriendo el Entendimiento. And you can find it in the same places as this program. And for those who do not have like different apps, I have put it on YouTube so you could listen there or share with somebody that you wish. Now let's pray to end this program for today. God Almighty, I thank you for your great love and for teaching us more of your word on this day. I ask that this program please be a blessing for everyone who listens to it. Thank you for teaching us according to your will. I have given everything in your hands because I can only do so much. I ask you, O Lord Almighty, that you cover and guard everybody who's listening to this program. Please protect them with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, my next episode, I try to take out an episode every 2 weeks, but sometimes it gets hard due to work and other things I have to take care of. So, please be patient with me, and I'll do better in the next episode. And do forgive me and if there were parts you could not understand on this day. Either way, to all my brothers and sisters in God, and to all of you who are listening, may God bless you greatly. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and this is the program called Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. May God bless you, and I'll see you in the next episode. And to God be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.